Good morning, family, or whenever you listen to this. We are at week two since COVID-19 started hitting close to home. And I'm sure it's been a strange week for you, as it has been for Bonnie and me. Stuck at home for the most part, the pattern of our days kind of confused, and pretty much every morning we look at each other and have to ask what day it is. Already, the thing I miss most is just being together with other people. And while this crisis is worldwide, in a strange way, it's bringing people together, even if only in virtual ways. We spoke with friends in Sweden the other day who are dealing with this much the same as we are, and a tech support guy in the Philippines asked me the other day how my family was doing, even as his country is under lockdown. In my message last weekend, I talked about how in the midst of crisis like this, we don't need to be afraid, because we have a God who never leaves nor forsakes us. And how in Psalm 46, verse 3, we were reminded that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And as followers of Jesus, we're committed to reflecting His character in the ways we live and love and care for a broken, lost, and lonely world. This past week, I was encouraged to hear how so many of you are reaching out toward one another. And it's like we're in process, I think, to become more attentive and thoughtful about those in our community, both in church and in our neighborhoods, especially those who are vulnerable and lonely during this season of social distance. And this week, our staff and lay leaders have started putting together resources and channels for connection that you're going to hear about more this coming week. So please check your inbox for next Tuesday's email. Already, there are ways you can volunteer or ask for help on our church website. And that's just a start. As the CDC is telling us that this season of separation may last 8 weeks or more, it's my prayer that God will use this time to accomplish something in us, both individually and corporately, behaviors that will grow us into a more caring and just community of faith. People who are on mission to share the love of Christ and the promise of salvation we know because of our Savior Jesus. Along with encouragement to be outward and caring, our ministry staff has dedicated ourselves to resourcing our church family with encouragement from God's Word. One of the beautiful things about the Bible is how true to life it really is. For one thing, it doesn't ignore the reality of hardship or sorrow. Now, if you were going to make up your own religion and write a holy book to support your blasphemy, there's no way you'd make it as honest as the Word of God truly is. That's one more reason we can trust that all Scripture is inspired by God, that it's God-breathed. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, His Word is inspired, so that it'll be useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training us in righteousness, so that God's servants may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, in these times, as in all times, we can go to the Bible for encouragement, challenge, comfort, and assurance. One of the passages that's been on my mind recently has been Psalm 23, words written by King David, inspired by God, but who himself saw a lot of life and a lot of trouble. And like so many psalms that speak honestly about life's realities, 23 paints a vivid picture of where God is in the midst of life's uncertainties, even when we may be in the valley of the shadow of death. If you have your Bible or a Bible app nearby and you want to open to that psalm, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Not because it's a better translation than what you may be familiar with, but because I want us to hear it in a fresh way and really get it this time. Here's what David wrote in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can't remember how many times I've been privileged to share those words at a hospital bedside, especially as someone was drawing closer to heaven. That psalm, written 3,000 years ago, reflects a universal cry of the human heart, of calling out to God. And notice, this psalm was written to God. And in it, David affirms that because God's with us, omniscient and omnipresent, we lack nothing. We may feel alone and afraid because, of course, we're human, and yet the cry of David's heart in this psalm isn't just hollow, wishful thinking. He really believes what he is crying out to God, as he affirms that God will be faithful in tough times. Look at the verbs in those first few verses, that when God is our shepherd, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes our souls and guides us along the right paths for his name's sake. It's like God has a vested interest in the well-being of his people, and that's because he does. Through the darkest of valleys, when health fails, or finances go into free fall, when jobs are at risk or relationships are strained, or even when the pressure of being stuck at home feels unbearable, this psalm reminds us that God will never abandon us to the evil or to the oppression of what we are experiencing. And of course, we know we're not going to get through this on our own power, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, we will not be consumed by evil or downturn or depression, because God is mighty to save those who trust him. And there's nothing else in this world that can do that for us. Only God's love as he's revealed in Jesus Christ. You know, just before we were pretty much put into lockdown, Bonnie and I had the privilege of visiting one of our older friends from Excelsior. Bon made a little supper to take her, and even then we were really careful to keep our distance, which is so hard to do when you want to reach out with love for someone. Many of you don't know Alice, because at 96 and with a lot of health problems, she's pretty much confined to home where she lives alone. She has wonderful neighbors and friends who look in regularly and kids who are good about checking in, but Alice is alone a lot of the time. And she told us that day that she is so ready for heaven to be released from the burden of this life. Now, that might make you think she's depressed, maybe even despairing because of what life has become for her, but she's not. If anything, the faith Alice has in Jesus overwhelms whatever dark valley she might be in. And if you've ever had the privilege of visiting a saint like Alice, you know how you come away more blessed and encouraged than you ever could have imagined, which to me is such a powerful reminder of how very much we need one another in the church and in our communities, everyone of all ages. And that encourages me too, how in this COVID-19 season as the church, we have an opportunity to bridge across generations as never before, to care for one another. And I'm not talking just young people to old people, but old to young as well, growing in our connectedness generation to generation. What an awesome opportunity we actually have in these days. And I can just imagine it, younger families, kids and all, writing letters, painting pictures, putting together care packages for our seniors and those most at risk in the crisis, offering to run errands, even if that means just dropping things at the door, because that may be all we can do right now. While middle-aged and older folks can also embrace the opportunity and adopt younger friends with notes and cards and prayers. And then can you imagine the reunions, even meeting face-to-face for the first time, these reunions that we'll have when we finally can come back together for life and worship. Now, if your heart is moved to reach out like that, please connect with someone. Someone you might adopt as a special friend in this season. Or you can use the link on our church website and let our staff team know, and we'll be happy to connect you with someone. You know, at this point, it's likely our Easter celebration is going to have to wait. And while that's a bummer, come that day when we will gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It will be a day when we also celebrate the incredible gift God's given us in His church. And intergenerational will take on a whole new reality. Psalm 23 reminds us that because God is with us, we're empowered to live in a way that blesses, even when the world seems dark. The Message paraphrase picks up at verse 5 of Psalm 23. It says, God, you revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life, and I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Excelsior family, you are each and every one a beloved child of God. And what incredible encouragement that we've been given to share that hope. But just knowing we're secure in God isn't the end of the story, because it calls us beyond to mission and to caring. It calls us to doing good. John Wesley was one of the great revivalists of the 18th century, and he knew what this was all about. Writing in a time of tremendous turmoil and social injustice in England, Wesley knew that Christian faith in all times moves us to things very practical. He famously wrote this, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Friends, may that be our story. May that be our growing edge throughout these days. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the gift of your Spirit who's with us at all times, comforting assurance, assuring us, guiding us, sometimes convicting us when we need it, and always encouraging. Help us hear the words of assurance in Psalm 23 and take them to heart, but also to hear them as an encouragement to share the hope and promise we know with you, to share with them, with a world that is right now very scared and uncertain, that there is hope. There is hope in God and through Jesus Christ. As so much around us has changed, you have not. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us, because like a good shepherd that you are, you have us in your sights and in your care. Give us courage to use this season of physical separation from your body here on earth, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and may this time be when we renew our devotion, when we make it priority to read your word and keep our prayers going, because we know you love it when we focus on you and are open and receptive to hear your heart conveyed to ours. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your family, the church. And give us power to live for you today in ways that bless people and bring you honor. We are here for you, Lord. And we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus, who has always been here for us. Amen.